And welcome to your GCSE Art and Design Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here. And today we're diving into one of the most exciting and relevant areas of your course, graphic communication. Whether you're working on your portfolio, preparing for your externally set task, or just trying to get your head around what examiners actually want to see, this episode has got you covered. So, let's start with the big question. What actually is graphic communication? At its heart, it's about using visual language, mark making, drawing, typography, layout, colour, and imagery to communicate ideas, messages, and meaning to an audience. Think about every logo you've ever recognised instantly, every poster that made you stop and look, every infographic that explained something complicated in seconds. That's graphic communication doing its job. In your GCSE course, this topic sits within the broader art and design framework, and it's assessed across four assessment objectives, which we'll be coming back to throughout this episode. These are AO1, develop, AO2, explore, AO3, record, and AO4, present. Each one carries equal weighting, 25% each, so you absolutely cannot afford to neglect any of them. Now let's get into the core concepts. The first thing you need to understand is mark making. This is the foundation of everything in drawing and graphic communication. A mark is any line, dot, stroke, or texture you create on a surface. But here's what separates a good GCSE response from an outstanding one: purposeful mark making. Examiners aren't just looking for neat lines, they want to see that you've made deliberate choices. Why did you use hatching here? Why did you choose gestural, expressive strokes rather than controlled, precise ones? Every mark should communicate something. Let's talk about the key mark-making techniques you need to know. Hatching uses parallel lines to create tone and shadow. The closer the lines, the darker the tone. Cross-hatching layers those lines in different directions for even richer tonal depth. Stippling builds up tone through dots. It's time-consuming, but incredibly effective for texture. Contour lines follow the form of an object, wrapping around it to suggest three-dimensional volume. And gestural marks are loose, expressive, energetic. They capture movement, emotion, and atmosphere rather than precise detail. Now, materials matter enormously in graphic communication. Graphite pencils give you control and precision, perfect for technical drawing, lettering, and detailed observation. Charcoal is expressive and atmospheric, brilliant for bold tonal work and capturing mood. Ink, whether applied with a pen, brush, or even a stick, creates strong, confident marks with real visual impact. Pastels, both oil and soft, allow for rich colour blending and textural effects. And don't overlook digital tools. Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, and even Procreate are entirely valid media in your portfolio, and examiners absolutely give credit for their skilled use. Now let's move on to the theoretical knowledge you need, specifically the key practitioners and designers whose work you should be referencing. This is where so many candidates lose marks. They describe their own work without connecting it to the wider world of graphic design. First, Saul Bass. If you don't know this name, write it down right now. Saul Bass was an American graphic designer who revolutionized film poster and title sequence design in the mid-20th century. His work used bold, simplified shapes and powerful typography to communicate mood and narrative instantly. His style is geometric, reductive, and incredibly influential. When you're working with simplified forms and strong colour contrasts in your own work, Saul Bass is your reference point. Next, Paula Scher. She's one of the most influential graphic designers working today, known for her bold typographic work and her ability to use lettering as image. Her maps, large-scale paintings covered in dense hand-lettered text, blur the boundary between fine art and graphic design. If you're exploring typography as a visual element rather than just a functional one, Paula Scher is essential. Then there's Neville Brody, a British designer who transformed magazine design in the 1980s. Brody treated the page as a visual composition, breaking typographic conventions and creating layouts that felt radical and exciting. He's particularly relevant if you're exploring editorial design, zine making, or experimental layout. Now let's talk about the visual elements of design, the building blocks of every piece of graphic communication. Line is the most fundamental element.
Lines direct the eye, create boundaries, and suggest movement or stillness. Shape creates two-dimensional areas. Geometric shapes feel ordered. Organic shapes feel natural. Tone ranges from light to dark, creating drama and depth. Color involves not just hue, but saturation and value. Warm colors advance, cool colors recede. Texture is the surface quality implied through mark making. Space includes both positive space, the subject, and negative space, the background. And composition is how all these elements are arranged within the picture plane.
Right, let's talk exam technique. Because knowing your stuff is only half the battle. You also need to know how to show examiners what you know. The most common mistake I see, and I mean the single most costly error, is describing without analysing. If you write, "I used hatching to create shadow," that's description. One mark, maybe two. But if you write, "I employed cross-hatching to build tonal depth in the shadow areas, creating a sense of three-dimensional form that draws the viewer's eye towards the focal point of the composition," now you're analysing. You're explaining the why, the effect, and the relationship to your intentions. That's the difference between a grade 4 and a grade 7. The second big mistake is neglecting annotation. Your portfolio is not just a collection of pretty pictures, it's a record of your thinking. Every page should have purposeful written annotation that critically analyses your decisions, reflects on what worked and what didn't, and connects your work to the practitioners and contexts you've been researching. Examiners are looking for evidence of a genuine creative journey, not a polished final product that appeared from nowhere. Third mistake, treating the four assessment objectives as separate boxes to tick. They're not. They should weave through your entire project. Your AO1 research should directly inform your AO2 experimentation. Your AO3 recording should document that process. And your AO4 final outcome should feel like the natural conclusion of everything that came before. Now let's talk about command words, because in any written component, the command word tells you exactly what the examiner wants. Identify just means name it, brief, factual. Describe means say what you see, using subject-specific vocabulary. Don't just say there are dark areas. Say the artist has used dense cross-hatching to create areas of deep shadow. Explain means give reasons, the how and the why. You need to link the technique to its effect. Analyze means break it down into components. Look at individual elements and discuss each one's contribution to the overall effect. Evaluate is the highest order command word. You're making judgments. How effective is this? What are the strengths? What could be improved? You need to take a position and justify it. Quickfire recall quiz time. I'll ask the questions and I want you to actually say the answers out loud. Ready? Question 1. Name the four assessment objectives for GCSE Art and Design and their percentage weightings. That's AO1 Develop, AO2 Explore, AO3 Record, and AO4 Present, each worth 25%. Question 2. What is the difference between hatching and cross-hatching? Hatching uses parallel lines in one direction to create tone. Cross-hatching layers lines in two or more directions for deeper tonal effects. Question 3. Name three key graphic designers you could reference in your portfolio or written work. Saul Bass, Paula Scher, and Neville Brody are three excellent choices. Question 4. What does it mean to use negative space effectively in a design? Negative space is the area around and between the subjects of an image. Using it effectively means the background becomes an active part of the composition, contributing to meaning and visual impact. Question 5. What should your portfolio annotations include to achieve the highest marks? Critical analysis of your decisions, reflection on what worked and what didn't, and connections to practitioners and contextual sources and specialist vocabulary throughout. And that brings us to our summary. Today we've covered the core concepts of graphic communication, mark-making techniques from hatching to gestural drawing, the materials and media available to you, the key practitioners you should be referencing, the visual elements of design, and the exam technique that will actually get you the marks. The three things I want you to take away from this episode are 1. Every mark you make should be purposeful and explainable. 2. Your annotations are just as important as your visual work. They're where you demonstrate your thinking. And 3.
always connect your practical work to the wider world of graphic design, to named practitioners and contextual references. You've got this. Keep experimenting. Keep annotating. Keep asking yourself, why did I make this choice? And what effect does it create? That's the mindset of an outstanding GCSE art and design candidate. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your portfolio and your exams. See you in the next episode.